Hello and welcome to LX2 Codependency Coaching. I am Stella. I am recording live on Luna underscore X2 underscore LLC on Instagram. And we're just going to jump right in because I have so many things to say. So I was and have been listening for the past couple of weeks to a book called Locust Lane by Samuel Aldon, Thomas Aldon, somebody, Amidon, A-M-I-D-O-N. Anyway, such a good book. I like crime novels, and so it kind of unfolds in this town, Emerson or Waldo? Anyway, and so it's really interesting. It's got these four teenagers, and somebody ends up dead. So it's really what it brought to my attention today, this week, was this idea that a lot of times we live in this delusion of kind of who our kids are, who we're in relationship with, whatever. And so these three teenagers all have something to do with a murder. And all of their parents are like, not my kid. I would never. That's not even in their nature. And I think a lot of times, especially when we're in relationship with someone and we've invested a lot of emotional energy, we have a hard time seeing people for who they are or what they do. And we have this narrative in our head of what is happening. And so it kind of sat with me as I was processing this week of, you know, this delusion that we kind of choose to see, the rose-colored glasses, if you will, when we are dealing with our loved ones and how our codependency then shows up. And so one of the things that I have written about is that we make excuses for people's bad behavior, or we, you know, dismiss it, or we work around it, or whatever it is. And it has to do with the level of investment that we put in people. And so I've talked about, you know, credit, both positive and negative. And so we give people a lot of credit, or we don't give them enough credit that they can't like figure things out for themselves. But part of it is that delusion. Part of it is that space that we live in where we don't want to see the actual truth. We just want to see the potential, or we just want to see, you know, of what we've invested rather than looking at people's behavior. And so anyway, listening to the book, and they're like, not my kid, it would never happen. And the story unfolds, and, you know, without ruining it, it's one of the kids. And it's interesting because the parents then start to remember certain behaviors or certain characteristics or whatever. And there's one girl in particular, and she is really in love with this guy, and she's like, he would never do these things. And that's not him. And it's interesting because when I talk to clients, a lot of times, they have this level of dismissive awareness of like, oh, well that happened, but it was only the one time, or that happened, but you know, this idea of when it's good, it's really good. And when it's bad, it's terrible. And so a lot of times when I'm talking to clients who are really in that place of discomfort and they're ready to make changes, we start to look at things for what they are. And, you know, not in any one negative way, but just what it actually is and how it makes us feel. And a lot of times we will characterize ourselves as the villain or as not enough or as the problem without looking at the actual problem in the dynamics of relationships, which kind of creates more discomfort than we really look at until we're talking about it to another person. And so, as I've shared with you, my job is to hold up a mirror and say, this is what I heard you say. A lot of times my perspective is just a different perspective. It's not the right perspective. It's not, you know, in any way the only perspective, but it is a different way of looking at things. And so when we start to look at them from a different perspective, we can see a little bit more detail. And so when I talk about, you know, patterns of behavior, and certainly in the dynamics in the relationship, people will start to look at them maybe a little bit differently, and maybe with a little bit more reality in the situation. I have often described myself as a realist. I am not an optimist or a pessimist, glass half full or empty. I'm not really concerned with that. I want to know what's in the glass. And so that's, you know, kind of the realistic perspective that I bring to things. That's not to say that I don't have my own delusions about certain relationships and dynamics, because I do. But I do try to check them on a regular basis of like, okay, what's the reality? What's the truth? What am I missing? And part of that is because I do practice that often, with clients, with people in my life. And I much prefer to look at what's in the glass rather than whether or not it's full or empty. And so I have started to kind of evaluate the different dynamics and relationships. So, when clients come into my office and they're talking about a problematic dynamic with, family members or partners or kids or whatever, I start to ask questions from a place of curiosity of like, well, tell me what that pattern looks like, or tell me what that behavior looks like. Tell me what prompts that reactivity, in yourself, but also in these dynamics. And so that's a hard pill to swallow a lot of times because people want to remain in the delusion, sometimes because that feels safer. They're just like, oh no, but it's not always, or no, oh, no, that's not always what happens. It's only when this happens, or they take on extra blame. Well, it's only when I do these things that I get that reaction from those humans. And so when I start to teach skills, then it's like, well, okay, so what if we changed it up? What if you didn't participate in the argument? What if you just stayed quiet? Then how does that shift how that dynamic plays out? What if you didn't do the thing that you always do? You're always the one who does the extra work or whatever. And so then it starts to change the reality. Then it starts to change the perspective. Then we start to recognize, oh, I didn't realize that I was making excuses for their behavior or taking on extra work so that they didn't do the thing. And so when we start to interact from that other changed behavior perspective, then the dynamic shifts. Sometimes in a positive way, sometimes, in a more challenging way, but then we start to take off those rose-colored glasses. Then we start to look at the dynamic or the interaction or whatever it is from a more realistic perspective. I was talking to a mom the other day who has grown kids, and she kept saying like, I've already ruined it. Like I have, I now have to keep my mouth shut or not interact or whatever. And I said, well, I don't know if it's ruined. Let's look at it from a different perspective. What if we did something differently? Oftentimes with, parents of adult children, I have done this practice myself where I have to remind myself, oh, they're grown-ups, right? Both with my daughter, who is a grown-up, and then with my grown siblings, of whom I am the oldest, have had to remind myself on a regular basis that they are grown-ups and that they are capable of making decisions and it's their life and blah blah blah. As I pull back from my codependent kind of training that I am in charge of all the things, I'm not. And so that is a reminder for myself. But what it also has to do is to build then trust, both for me to trust them that they'll be able to handle their own lives, and for them to trust that I am not going to rush in and save them and, kind of create more problems truly than I need to, because I'm then feeling responsible for their behavior. And a lot of times, that'll come from a place of guilt. It'll come from a place of shame. It'll come from a place of anger. It'll come from a place of resentment. Because if I just let things happen, over and over and over, then I will get resentful. And, we've talked about the fact that oftentimes when we do extra stuff, it builds resentment. It builds frustration. And then it builds that narrative in the delusion of our head that they are incapable of taking care of things for themselves. I'm the one who has to do it. Interesting story after water. So I was having some billing challenges, as most humans are, because there's a billing challenge that happened, a hacker and blah 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 whatever. And so I called my organization, the organization I work with, and I was like, okay, I did my job. My job is to see members. Your job is to process billing and then pay me. That's how that works. I didn't say it that way because I tried to keep the snark out of my voice, but it's challenging to do. So anyway, I was processing that with my accountability buddy, and she goes, that reminds me of the lost bag when you were going to go down into baggage claim and you were going to do it your damn self. And the controlling codependent human that I have been is one that when I get frustrated or uncomfortable, I will rush in to like do the job. And it's not always my job to do, especially when it comes to like other bigger organizations that are supposed to do their job. But it is my nature, or it has been in the past, to rush in and fix something because in my brain, I feel like I have control over everything, and I don't. But oftentimes, our codependency, where it came from, is again from that those negative emotions of that like guilt or shame or whatever it is. And so, or investment, right? And so as I go back to this idea of Locust Lane, this book that is really kind of awesome and has me totally engrossed, there's these parents who have put a lot of effort and attention into raising their kids. And as I've shared with you before, even parents, we can only control ourselves, our choices, and our behavior. We can influence behavior to a degree from kids, but not to any significant degree once they get out in their locus of control and their locus of influence is significantly larger, and they hang out with other people and all the things. But it's very frustrating for us because when our kids behave off book, right, do things that we didn't raise them that way, we take it personally. And as our children are a reflection of us, then we somehow find fault in how we behave. And so I've also talked about this idea of over-empathizing. I speak about empathy as our superpower to be able to connect with other people. I can imagine how that feels, even if it hasn't happened to me. I have had loss before. I have had sadness before. I have had, whatever negative emotion. And so we can empathize with people, which is different than sympathy. It's interesting when I worked with teenagers before, I would talk to them and teach them about empathy so that they could manage their emotions a little bit better and recognize that, like, these things aren't happening to you, they're just happening. And so then you can choose how you engage differently. But this concept of over-empathizing, so I do speak of empathy as our superpower to be able to connect, and to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. That said, oftentimes we can over-empathize to the point that we are doing extra things and hoping that we get a different result. And a lot of times, what that will look like is we overcorrect, right? A lot of times, when people have grown up in, chaos or trauma or abuse or whatever, when they have kids, then they want to minimize those kinds of experiences. And so, a lot of times, we've talked about the fact that people will say, I don't want them to feel insert negative emotion here. They're going to feel those things, and that's okay. Obviously, to whatever degree that we can, we love our children as best we can. We want to be able to give them the building blocks to be able to be successful adults. And a lot of times that will come with over-empathizing with our kids. And, I don't want them to feel hurt, or I don't want them to feel disappointed, or I don't want them to feel whatever. And so then we do these extra things, and then we end up feeling frustrated or, overwhelmed or resentful, and then we're behaving or reacting in a way that's not positive for us or them. But when we have that idea of delusion, and we are like, oh, I'm not gonna look at the things that are negative or weird, or unhelpful, right? It doesn't always have to be absolutely tragic, but it can be unhelpful. And so when we over-empathize, I don't want them to feel those really hard things because I know what that feels like. Then we, bubble wrap them. We've talked about that, creating veal. So we want to be able to do both, have empathy, and also teach our kids how to self-soothe, how to manage their own feelings so that it doesn't get to that place where they go out into the world thinking, well, I'm impervious to all things because mom or dad or somebody will come and save me from, negative things. That's not helpful for them, and we continue to then be uncomfortable. And so often I talk about, we get to that level of discomfort, either, just because I don't like the way I'm showing up, I don't feel good about it. Oftentimes when we're reactive or, have gotten to our boiling point, I've shared with you guys before that I was a yeller for a long time. And I would say unhelpful things, right? That now live in my child's head, which, she pays another lady to talk about those things. But I'd say to parents often, like, because they say, I don't want to fuck it up. Like, I don't want to ruin my children. Rarely are people ruined. And when you're talking to, a professional about it, you are wanting to get the tools and skills to be able to do it differently. And so what I tell parents often is, you're gonna fuck it up. Like, that's just normal. That's how raising kids works. And, the goal is to do the minimal amount of damage possible in a situation where damage is going to happen. I do tell parents often, like, don't save for college, save for therapy, because you are going to fuck it up. And if we can continue to work past that, delusion of everybody's perfect and, my kids are great and they never do anything wrong. Well, that's not true. They do. They're supposed to. That, we talk about that idea of, like, failure is how we learn. We have to be able to look at the whole picture. I cannot help you if I don't know all of the facts. And in this story in particular, these parents had invested a lot in their kids. They did see the flags. They chose not to look at them. And then, this tragic thing happened. Now, this is an extreme example, but it is an example of how we delude ourselves. And we have to detach from that delusion. We have to be able to look at the forest and the trees to be able to help our kids to be successful in managing their own emotions, in managing their own reactions, in behaving in a way that is helpful for their success long term. And that is, it's a hard thing to do, because we obviously, are sweet little angel babies. I probably focused more on the negative, but that was coming from my own place of shame and guilt. I think I've shared with you before. I was a young mom. I had feelings about that in terms of feeling like I ruined my life and I was a failure, and so all those things, were then projected onto to my child, who then became an adult. But so I held her to a different standard, and so I was like, you're going to be the best of the best. You're going to learn how to read early. You're going to, behave in all these ways that were a reflection of me. Turns out she's actually a really good human, has her own really good moral compass, and figured those things out. But I had to let go of my own delusion of how I saw myself, which was not positive. And a lot of times we will feel that overwhelming guilt and shame about the things that we have done or that we experienced, and then project that onto our kids in a way that's not helpful for them, right? And so we're not giving them the skills and tools and building blocks because we're behaving from our place of shame or guilt or whatever it is. And so the delusion goes both ways, right? Both positive and negative. A lot of times that core belief of we are not good enough, then makes us behave in a way that is not helpful for the people around us. And it does, kind of project that codependency of I'm going to do all these extra things so that I get that validation, acceptance, and love from the people around me. And then I'm exhausted. And then I'm depleted. And then I'm angry and resentful. Then I'm reactive. And that's, it's just, it's not a good way to then build continuity in our relationships that is helpful for us and them. And so part of it is we have to take off the glasses. Part of it was have to look at the whole picture for what it is and then adjust ourselves accordingly by either teaching skills, modeling skills, or maybe not interacting in the same way that we always have. We have to do something differently. It is a huge turning point in my therapeutic relationship with a client when they start to employ skills and then they start to feel a little bit of peace. When they start to employ skills and compassion for themselves, empathy for themselves, patience with themselves, and then they are speaking to themselves as though they are someone that they love, because then they can start to interact into the world in a way that is helpful for the dynamics and the relationships that they want to maintain. And part of that is putting down the delusion. Part of that is detaching from the narrative that we have told ourselves, either about ourselves or about the people that we care about and love. We have to see them for who they are and how they're behaving. When our child is struggling, it is normally our first inclination to be like, where did I fuck up? How did I do this to them? what did I do wrong, right? A lot of times that's going to be our initial feeling. And so in speaking with, a therapist, a coach, or somebody else, we get to choose then how we interact in a different way and recognize, okay, I'm responsible for, I literally said to myself out loud, I am responsible for 50% of the genetic material in this human being. The other 50%, I don't have any control over. How it expresses and shows up, I cannot take responsibility for. And they are out in the world getting influenced by a lot of other humans, and that's good. That's actually positive. We want that for them. But I cannot take full responsibility for all of it. I can take responsibility for my part, and then I can choose to interact differently, looking at it for what it is, right? Having those conversations that are like, tell me what's going on with you. Like, what are your feelings, your perspective? What is happening? A lot of times we don't want to have our kids feel uncomfortable. A lot of times we don't want to have our partner feel uncomfortable. A lot of times we don't want to have our friends feel uncomfortable. And so we take a lot of responsibility that isn't ours to take. And so part of it is detaching from that expectation that everything should just be great, right? Because it's not. Or everything is terrible, right? I'm terrible. Consequently, I am making all of this worse. Also not true. So it's very nuanced. There are a lot of parts, and we are only responsible for this much of a dynamic, and then we get to choose. Then we get to employ different skills. Then we get to look at things from all of the perspectives, not just the one. It's reminding me of I used to love the show Intervention because I'm a sick voyeur and I'm just like, ah, see how that's a whole mess. But part of it was having multiple family members looking from their different perspectives, taking accountability for how they contributed to this, long-term addiction. And so part of the intervention process is setting hard boundaries and then following through with consistency, right? And the follow-through is really challenging. I talk about the follow-through often because a lot of times we will stay stuck and like, well, I will try this, but I won't do it forever because then they'll get uncomfortable. Discomfort is part of the deal. Discomfort is how we grow, right? If we continue to see ourselves as broken, we cannot look at those other parts where, like I've talked about before, all of the parts of you that have survived and have learned coping skills and have gotten through really tough and difficult things, they did not break you. It just gave you the opportunity to learn new skills. And once you're sitting in my office or a therapist's office in general, you get to look at it from different perspectives. You get to see the whole picture without overly empathizing with, the other people in these dynamics. A lot of times we will make excuses or rationalize other people's behavior. That's that delusion. And be like, well, they had a hard childhood. They're going through these things. They lost their job. They, whatever it is. And we over-empathize without recognizing, and it's still not okay for them to be shitty, right? It's still not okay for them to behave in this way that is unhelpful. And I get to choose, because I can't control other people's behavior, how much I tolerate, what I am going to experience in this dynamic. I can pull back and not participate in the fight that often ensues when, such and such happens. I get to manage my boundaries and I get to say that I'm not going to participate in that. I'm going to manage my, energetic capacity. I'm going to manage my resources and recognize I don't have to participate in something that makes me uncomfortable, that makes this dynamic not work. I have to put down this, unhelpful awareness that I think that I have all this control over all the things because I don't. And, control my part. I have a lot more capacity when I control just what's mine and not what's everybody else's. I have a lot more control over how my piece is gathered and managed when I am just doing the things that I can control and then allowing other people to control what is theirs, right? When I'm looking at the whole picture, all of its parts at the same time. When I detach from that delusion that I have chosen to only look at this much and not see the whole thing. It is challenging for sure, and it is possible to then start to look at the whole picture and recognize my needs are important, my wants are important, what I experience in this relationship is important, and I get to choose then how I manage my resources, my time, my energy, my space, when I set those boundaries, when I detach from how it's supposed to be and look at it for what it is, then I can also choose what I allow in my experience. And it does get better. It can get better. There is a loneliness part, right? Like we talked about last time. Sometimes when I get to that place where I understand all of the things, it can feel isolating. It does feel like, wow, I'm in this by myself. And that's okay too. What I know to be true is my clients have an amazing amount of resilience. I have an amazing amount of resilience. And when I can manage my boundaries and my resources better, I can continue to grow and change. Oftentimes, when we see ourselves as the problem or we don't let the other person take accountability for their part, we're doing a lot of extra work. We are, putting a lot of effort and attention into something that is not ours to manage. I will often ask a client, well, I was helping them with this and I was helping them with this and I was giving them this perspective and I was telling them all the things. And I was like, did they ask you for that? That's hard, right? Because if someone isn't asking and we're doing all the stuff, like, that's not helpful for us or them. It takes away, it disempowers them from being able to fix things for themselves. If someone is asking, then we can choose how much we interact, how much we participate. But we'd have to d detach from that perspective for a while. So detaching from the delusion is hard, but it is helpful. When I can look at not just what someone's saying, but what they're doing, and then what my needs are, does it match? And if it doesn't, then it's my responsibility to take a step back. It's my responsibility to manage my own peace, to manage my own resources, to recognize I can't keep pouring into something that I'm not getting something back from. And if I'm not, then it requires a conversation. And then I have to see the other person for what they can actually participate in, what they can actually do. I have to look at it for the reality that it is and not the delusion that I have created, not the story in my head where I overly empathize with whatever struggle or challenge they're going through. And I have to take responsibility for what is mine. All of that in 30 minutes. There's your nugget. If you have any questions, want to reach out for therapy or coaching, lx2.cod.coach@gmail.com. I'm going to end the video. I do appreciate everyone who's listening and participating in the whole podcast process. I am so grateful to everyone who takes this opportunity to learn how to look at it from a different perspective. It's not easy to do. And I do recognize that, like, the relationships that I've created in the therapeutic space, I have said, like, part of the way that I do therapy is by making people uncomfortable, and they are already in a level of discomfort when they come here. And so when they are looking at things from that realistic perspective, not the delusion of like, well, this is just how my life is. It's always going to be like this. No, you can do it differently, but you got to choose, and you're going to be uncomfortable first. And so it's that, that space thing where you have to break through, the atmosphere. It's going to be uncomfortable, and then you get out into that space where you learn how to do things differently, where you get to have the kinds of relationships that you want to have. So reach out to me, lx2.cod.coach@gmail.com. You can hit me here on Instagram, on Facebook. You can check out my website. That is how you get a hold of Stella and Luna X2. I'm going to end the video and then I'm going to end the podcast, and I will talk to you guys next week. Take care. All right, we have ended the video and we are going to end the podcast. Thank you to everyone who's listening. Virginia, thank you for showing up. Awesome. DC, I've got listens there. Slovenia, Lithuania, Portugal, Singapore, they showed up. Thank you so much to everyone who listens. And again, thank you for taking this opportunity to even just start the conversation on how to do things better so that you have more peace in your life. I will talk to you soon. Take care.